Welcome to the podcast, Amazing Tales from Off and On Connecticut's Beaten Path, and I'm your host, Mike Allen. You know, the American flag's gone through a few design changes over the years, from the days when Betsy Ross supposedly made the very first one for George Washington in Philadelphia, to each time a new state gets added, necessitating yet another star. But the two flags that were flown in Brookfield, Connecticut during the Civil War couldn't have been more different in one key respect. Our special guest today is Bob Brown, president of the Brookfield Museum and Historical Society, and he's going to be along in just a minute to explain the difference in those flags and, more importantly, what the difference meant in the highly polarized years during the U.S. Civil War. This week's trivia question: what Connecticut invention connected people in a way that changed the world forever? Stick around after the main program for the answer, because then you'll know the topic for next week's show. Amazing Tales from Off and On Connecticut's Beaten Path is brought to you by our sponsor, Yale New Haven Health. Yale New Haven Hospital was the very first hospital in Connecticut. They opened their doors 200 years ago and later introduced the entire country to the use of penicillin and chemotherapy. Today, some of the brightest minds in medicine choose to work there, and it's the primary teaching hospital for the prestigious Yale School of Medicine. For more information, log on to ynhhs.org. That's ynhhs.org. Previously on Amazing Tales, CT, we've done episodes discussing the split during the Civil War, not just between the North and the South, but also between residents here in the North. Now, not everybody supported the war. In fact, the Democratic Party at the time, that's the party that ran against Abraham Lincoln in the election of 1860, felt that the South should be allowed to continue to have slaves if that's what they wanted. Many were troubled by the idea of the new United States separating and everybody seceding over the issue. It was also a question of money, though. The South grew the cotton that many businesses in the North needed, and a war could disrupt those supply chains, and perhaps even permanently. Some Democrats felt it would just make more sense to negotiate with the South. Keep them in the Union, let them have slaves, and sort of kick the can down the road and deal with the issue later. Well, as we know, that's not at all what happened, and the bloody Civil War raged from 1861 to 1865, with the North, of course, finally winning. Throughout Connecticut, those opposed to the war flew white flags. This is what we've discussed before, the so-called peace flags. And those who favored going to war to free the slaves and bring the southern states that were seceding back into the Union organized protests where they physically tore down many of those white flags. Well, most of that activity was confined to the very first year of the Civil War, and it kind of died down as things went forward. In Brookfield, Connecticut, though, there was a much different kind of protest against the Civil War, one that pitted an entire community of farmers in the Obtuse Hill neighborhood against those who lived in the village center called Brookfield Center. At the very outset of the war, the opponents sewed and raised their own protest flag, and it was anything but a white flag. In fact, if you just gave it a quick glance, it was a little hard to see the difference between the regular American flag and their American flag until you got to the blue background where the stars of the states are to be found. And for the rest of this story, we're lucky to have the president of the Brookfield Museum and Historical Society with us, Bob Brown. Bob, let's start off talking about Brookfield in the 1860s versus Brookfield today. I mean, obviously today it's got all of its beautiful shopping centers and Super 7 going through. But back in the 1860s, I mean, there was an active train line, but it was mainly an agrarian farming community, correct?
All the land in Brookfield was mostly farms, except for Brookfield Center, which at the time was primarily a residential neighborhood, a small residential neighborhood, and the other end of is Ironworks area down by the Still River was pretty much a business area.
And in the 1860s, they hadn't even yet formed Candlewood Lake. I mean, that didn't come for 40, 50 years later. So, I mean, they didn't even have the beautiful houses on Candlewood Lake.
That was even less populated area than what we know as Brookfield today. Candlewood Lake was very wild in its day, very sparsely populated. What was up there was just farms.
Now let's talk about the politics of the time, and Brookfield was really no different than a lot of communities in that they weren't united necessarily in favor of the Civil War.
Right. That same theme is throughout the Connecticut and probably other states from the Northeast. A lot of people were against that war and people were for it.
Usually you had towns that leaned one way or the other, but it wasn't necessarily overwhelmingly so. It was more like a 60-40 split in most of the towns from what I've seen. Would you characterize Brookfield that same way?
That's true. It was not an even split.
If a farming family didn't believe in the war, they didn't encourage their sons to go and fight the war. So they would stay on the farm, and the farm would sort of have a competitive advantage over other farms where the sons did go away, did fight in the Civil War, and that left really only the older residents who, you know, had a tougher time keeping up with the young bucks on the other farms.
That had to be a hardship for especially farm families that needed help to work the farm. The Democrats or the Copperheads, as they were called, they were in the same situation, but their young folks did not participate in the war, stayed home, and so they continued a normal life for them.
Now let's talk about the actual flag and what this meant, because there was obviously some resentment, and again, not unique to Brookfield. This happened in several towns throughout the state of Connecticut. But what was unique was the kind of flag that the anti-war people decided to fly to show their patriotism in a completely different way. Could you explain what that flag looked like?
The flag, it looked very similar to the regular American flag, and it had the 13 stars and stripes, red, white, and blue. It had a blue field. In the field, it had stars. Each star representing a state was represented in a circle, similar to, you know, the old Betsy Ross flag, I'll say. The stars from all the states were in a circle, and in the center, there was a large red star and stood out, and that particular element was regarded as the home star, the star of Brookfield, for instance, in amongst the star of all the states on that blue field.
Interesting. The way that Brookfield is laid out geographically, and if people can imagine back in the day, most of the trees were cut down because of the need for wood. The distance between Brookfield Center and the top of Obtuse Road, which is really on a ridge line right before you get to the slope down to the Housatonic River, these are two of the higher points in town, the center of town and Obtuse Hill. So now what you ended up with were the regular American flag in Brookfield Center and this, we'll call it Copperhead flag, flying on Obtuse Hill, and a lot of people could see it, couldn't they?
They could, and that was kind of the thorn. The people that favored the war and participated in it, they were in the center, and the Copperhead flag in the Obtuse area was visible from the center at that time because of the lack of forestry at the time.
Now, some people have suggested in, I guess you would call it, historical recountings that were written long after the fact, that there may have been some arguments at least, and maybe even some fisticuffs in town over this, which wouldn't make Brookfield unique from any other town in Connecticut. What do we know about that?
You know, we don't have a lot of written evidence from the time. There was a lot of contention about those flags, but I'm sure there was. There's the inference of the people being against flying of that flag and for what it stood. In fact, the flag had a lot of bullet holes in it from one side going there and firing on it. There was no fighting going on between the neighbors that we have any account of. That did happen in other towns, but not so much in Brookfield.
One of the things that I think stands out in Brookfield in this story is that it's not like the flag was flown for a short period of time and taken down just to make a statement. It flew throughout the Civil War, did it not?
Well, yes, it did for the most part of the war. And I don't know, looking at the state of the flag when it was taken down, I can't believe that the flag flew more than a couple of years, or 3 years at the most.
Now, let's talk about what happened after the war. So, obviously, the North won the war, and the Copperhead flag in Brookfield was taken down. What then happened to that flag? Can you take us through the series of steps as to how it got preserved and how you got your hands on it?
We're not sure who had that flag. The flag was found in a person's house in Brookfield that lived on Longmeadow Hill Road. There was a trunk in the attic, and the residents of that house found this flag in a trunk. And evidently, when the flag was taken down, it was put away in that trunk and preserved for what we have today. Although it did take a lot of our museum in town here, the Historical Society did put a lot of effort in restoring the flag professionally. Needed a backing and some help with its degradation over all the years. The flag is big. It measures 5 feet by 14 feet. So that gives you an idea of how easy it was to see when it was flown.
This is amazing that you can go to the Brookfield Museum and Historical Society, not too far, frankly, from where the flag was actually flown. You're at the intersection of 133 and 25, and you go down 133 about a mile and a half, and that's where the flag was flown. And you can still see this. This is amazing.
Flag resides in the museum, not far from where it flew. When we had it preserved, it was wrapped up, so it's not shown full length. It's full 14 feet. It's in a hermetically sealed box now. It was conserved professionally, and a special box was built for it. The flag now is wrapped around itself and shows the field and the stripes on a 4x6 portion of it.
That's just fantastic. What, to the best of your knowledge, ever happened to the families that lived on Obtuse Road who were behind this whole flag raising?
We have no idea. I have no history of that.
So as far as you know, they're not in town anymore?
No. They left on a train, probably.
Wraps up this episode of Amazing Tales from Off and On Connecticut's Beaten Path. You simply have to make your way to the Brookfield Museum and Historical Society in Brookfield Center at the intersection of State Routes 25 and 133. Now that's where the real American flag was flown, and it's just a short drive down Route 133 to Obtuse Hill Road, where the Copperhead flag flew in the 1860s. I want to thank our guest for today's program, Bob Brown, president of that Brookfield Museum and Historical Society. The answer to this week's trivia question, the question was, what Connecticut invention connected people in a way that changed the world forever? The answer is the telephone switchboard. Invented in New Haven, and it followed Alexander Graham Bell's introduction of the iconic telephone. Next week on Amazing Tales CT, we're going to tell you the fascinating story behind the creation of the switchboard, how it came about, along with a couple of incredible side creations that I suspect you will not guess ahead of time. Amazing Tales from Off and On Connecticut's Beaten Path is a production of True North Associates, LLC. This is Mike Allen. Be safe, and please stay healthy.